Ashesha, innumerable,
Jhanma,
birth, we have seen and inspired with a very black record of our past lives. The persons who attained to Krishna consciousness become perfectly cleansed of all dirty things and make spiritual progress very swiftly. Therefore, Bhakti Maharaj advises that without the benediction of the Supreme Lord, one cannot make advancement, even in so-called morality, economic development, or sense gratification. One should therefore take to the service of the Lord, or Krishna consciousness, and thus very soon become a perfect man, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. From Bhagavati Dharma, Shashvash Chantinagachati. In respect, Responsible King, Bhakti Maharaj recommends that everyone take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus be immediately purified. Lord Sri Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that simply by surrendering unto Him, one is immediately relieved of all sinful reactions, as Krishna takes away all the sinful reactions of the person immediately upon his surrender unto Him. Similarly, the external manifestation of Krishna, the representative of Krishna, who acts at the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, takes all the resultant actions of his sinful life of the disciple immediately after the disciple's initiation. Thus, if the disciple follows the principles instructed by the spiritual master, he remains purified, is not contaminated by the material infection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore stated that the spiritual master who plays the part of Krishna's representative has to consume all the sinful reactions of his disciple. Sometimes the spiritual master takes the risk of being overwhelmed by the sinful reactions of the disciples and undergoes a sort of tribulation due to their acceptance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised that one not accept many disciples. I'll read the verse again. By the inclinations to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, suffering humanity can immediately cleanse the dirt which is accumulated in their minds during their numeral births, like the Ganges water which emanates from the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a process immediately cleanses the mind, and thus spiritual or Krishna consciousness gradually increases. Om Gyanatimanandasyaganatinashakayatishvandatamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Vapitam Yena Uttare Shavana Rupakatam Ayam Dadati Svavadati. So, we had a wonderful yesterday morning Srimad Bhagavatam class, entering deeply into the subject matter by Mother Irmala, so nicely clarified, very easy to understand the purport yesterday. And this is the saving essence of the need the spiritual master to understand the application of the instructions of the great saintly sages, the Bhagavad, those who spoke of Bhagavatam, etc., how to apply that in their lives in a way which will have a beneficial effect. In this verse today, we see, at least in the purport and in the verse also, like the Ganges water, which emanates from the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. process of devotional service can immediately cleanse the mind. If we bring, I don't know, we have the third canto here, the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev. Could somebody kindly bring, if it's possible, the third canto, teachings of Lord Kapila Dev? Thank you for coming this morning. Large, relatively concerned, I see so many devotees coming for Bhagavatam class. It means we're serious to cleanse our hearts. Okay. I can find it, but I would like to read one of, I don't know what to say, one of the wonderful verses, four wonderful verses, every verse of the Bhagavatam. Cleanses our hearts and helps us to get a little closer to Krishna. I don't know if it might end here, so maybe. Here it is. I think Swami makes a lot. I want to read a verse in here. This verse is Lord Kapila Dev's instructions on devotional service. It's an amazing verse. The teachings of Lord Kapila Dev, the previous canto, are, you know, incredibly practical instructions for all of us. This is text 22 of the 28th chapter, third canto, chapter 28, text number 22, if you want to follow. Kapila's instructions on devotional service. And this is the translation that will be the purport. Listen carefully. The blessed Lord Shiva becomes all the more blessed by bearing on his head the holy waters of the Ganges, which has as its source in the water that washed the Lord's lotus face, which has its source in the water that has washed the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord's feet are like thunderbolts hurled to shatter the mountain of sin stored in the mind of the meditating devotee. One should therefore meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time. In this verse, the position of Lordship is specifically mentioned. The impersonalists suggest that the absolute truth has no form, and that one can says here for, maybe it's here for or therefore. Maybe therefore, I'm not sure. Therefore, it says beautiful. One can therefore equally imagine the form of Vishnu, or Lord Shiva, or the goddess Durga, or the sun Ganesh, But actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Master everyone. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Ekale Ishvara Krishna, Avasavavritya, the Supreme Lord is Krishna, and everyone else, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, not to mention other demigods, is a servant of Krishna. The same principle is described here. Lord Shiva is important because he is holding on his head the holy Ganges water. This has its origin in the foot wash of Lord Vishnu. In the Hari Bhakti Vilasa by Siddhanta Goswami, it is said, that anyone puts the Supreme Lord and demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, on the same level, becomes a Pashanti or atheist. We should never consider that the Supreme Lord Vishnu and demigods are on an equal footing. Another significant point of this verse is that the mind of the conditioned soul, on account of its association with the material energy, from time immemorial, contains heaps of dirt. in the form of desires to lord it over material nation. This dirt is like a mountain. For a mountain can be shattered when hit by a thunderbolt. Meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord acts like a thunderbolt on the mountain of dirt in the mind of the yogi. And if a yogi wants to shatter the mountain of dirt in his mind, he should concentrate on the lotus feet of the Lord and not imagine something void or impersonal, because the dirt is accumulated like a solid mountain. One must meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for quite a long time. For one who is accustomed to thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord constantly, however, it is a different matter. The devotees are so fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord that they do not think of anything else. Those who practice the yoga system must meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time after following the regulated principles and thereby control the senses. It is specifically mentioned here, Baba Padash Chaganavindam, one has to think of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Mayavadis imagine that one can think of the lotus feet of others like Lord Shiva, Brahma, Goddess Durga, etc. to achieve liberation, but this is not so. Bhagavatam is specifically mentioned, which means the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no one else. Another significant phrase is Shiva, Shivohu. By his constitutional position, Lord Shiva is always great and auspicious. But since he is accepted on his head, the Ganges water which emanated from the lotus feet of the Lord, he has become even more auspicious and important. The stress is on the lotus feet of the Lord. A relationship with the Lord, the lotus feet of the Lord, can even enhance the importance of Lord Shiva, not to speak of other ordinary living entities. This is the process of destroying the mountain of sin in their hearts, which is not just manifested in the form of say external behavior, but it's very deep down, as we probably have all experienced them. We come through the association of devotees quite often. It's a quick effect. We quickly become inclined or attracted, everybody many times, to even following, many of you may have already been doing, regulated principles of freedom, chanting the holy name, so in the association of devotees. It often is like, give the examples, like when we cut down the weeds, even mowing the lawn in our garden, we have one, and the grass is cut, it's very short, it looks nice, weeds don't look like there's any weeds either. And then after a short while they grow up again, because the roots are in the ground. So it's not enough just to remove the surface at which we can see. The process of devotional service is to uproot the weeds at the root, not just on the surface. We all know this example. Rupa Goswami describes in the Nectar of Instruction in Bhagavata Vindinam to remove the material attachments, the anarchists, material attachments, be they even in the mode of goodness, or in the mode of passion, or in the mode of ignorance. They may be relatively classified, but in essence, any desire separate from that of being spiritually constitutional desires for serving Krishna, for your yesterday Krishna, aspects of the Vaishnava or devotee, Krishnendriya, they desire, everyone else wants to satisfy their own senses, not Nendriya. Everyone's busy trying to arrange, you know, religion is a methodology. to try to fulfill material desires. As a devotee is not interested in fulfilling his material, her material desires, their material desires, then he may be in the neophyte stage, because later on, Lord Kapiladeva described the next devotional service. Buddha's prayer motivation is still to fulfill my desires. The pure devotional service, which is a constitution of soul, is only and solely principle of satisfying Krishna's desires. Krishna prayer. That's the purpose of satisfying all of our particular activities, is to satisfy Krishna. But the sun in the sin, once the prophet said, the original sin is to identify with the body as the sun. That's the number one sin. Everything else comes from that. Of course, we can go further back and say it's to turn our attention away from Krishna, to manifest aversion, which we have that free will to do so, towards loving devotion to Krishna, service to Krishna. We have that free will. The material world is the arena whereby we could say, act out our separate intentions, our independent desires. Krishna provides the facilities like a spoiled child who wants to be independent, and the parents may provide some kind of imitation situation for the child to imagine that they're cooking separately or driving separately or whatever it is. Independence. And simply in this material world, we have all these various toys the Lord has provided, material energy in various ways. And demigods, in one sense, are like storekeepers who provide, if you approach them properly, if you've got enough assets, you can buy some more nicer toys off of them. And into a nicer situation in heaven or somewhere. But the basic sin is not just the relative sins of this world. It's like in a prison house. If everybody is in a prison, or everyone who's in a prison, supposed to be everyone in the prison is a criminal, you get, relatively speaking, some who are a little bit, different character. They might be a little bit more, a little bit more cheery, kind of responsible or something. But they're all still in a prison house. And generally speaking, they all have criminal inclinations of some kind or another. But this is the sin. The criminal inclination is to see ourselves separate from Krishna and thus identify ourselves with this material world and not all the various varieties of desires and so on and so forth manifest in contact with various varieties of material forms. By association, the heart becomes full of unending desires, whether it's good ones to try to help other criminals, or whether it's bad ones to try to hurt the other criminals. It varies, or something in between. But it's all, you could say, criminal. Being honesty amongst thieves does not make the thief honest. We're all in that same boat, heaven or hell, or in between. So the real purposeful meaning of all so-called religious scriptures, so-called spiritual paths, is not to improve the situation within the prison or within the material world, rather to help the living entity to gradually progress and understand their actual position and become freed from the inclination to follow these independent desires and to develop and cultivate desires to please Krishna. It is the purpose of human life. It's the purpose of the material world. But most living entities do not heed that. They object to that idea. They may not even be conscious enough to be aware of its existence. For various reasons, they become so dull. But when one comes to human life, which is meant for this jiva-siddha-vijñāsa, meant for this inquiry, inquiring into the nature of the Absolute Truth, but all other energies are more or less directed to inquiring into the relative truth, how we can improve our sense, as we heard so nicely yesterday, sense gratification, economic development, and so on. And as was said, very few people are interested in real liberation. They don't know what is real liberation. It's also materialistic. And then devotees, the spiritual masters, they're trying to wake us up at great risks. They're taking on this great responsibility. Because we do have this, maybe we may be called a pious person, but we still have mountains of material desires and attachments. We were reading the other day, hearing and reading, on Gopanima, we went through in one of the sessions, the very unusual and interesting pastimes of Krishna in his childhood, Lord Chaitanya in his childhood, with corollaries to Krishna's childhood pastimes and the effects and the meanings of Lord Chaitanya's behavior. Whether it was smashing all the items in Mother Sachi's house and beating his fists on the floor and throwing tantrums, or spending years as a seemingly a wrangling pandit enjoying scholastic pastimes. All these various activities which the Lord performed, even the activity of Vishwaroop taking sannyas and everything, had its very, very specific beneficial effect upon hearing it. And it's described by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati that when Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, was smashing everything in Sachi Devi's house, he threw a tantrum if he couldn't get what he wanted. It was likened to smashing all material urges, all material desires, destroying all material desires to the last limits. And we all know that Vishayacharyakam. Vishayacharyas, Hirasimajyam, Kevabhadiyam. You want to come to Śrīla Nāma, you have to become freed of all material desire. Vishayacharyakam, Śrīla-bhīmam, Kabihāhevabho, Śrīla-bhīmam. To go to Vrindavan, we have to be free of all material desire. So how that can be possible? There's so much surrounded by all these things. It's only the mercy of the Lord, as Prabhupada mentions here, that even the most sinful person, yes, they are so fortunate. Prabhupada saying you were picking up people from the pits, from the gutter. Prabhupada used the word gutter a long time. You've just come out of the gutter, of the drain. Literally, we think it's, we may think this drain is very nice, I have a nice drain, just like a pig. The pig thinks the stool is very nice. You see them in the gutters, in the drains in India sometimes. They're groveling around there. They're really looking for some nectar in the drains. It's nice. But for human beings, unless we're really the Lord of ignorance, it's not a very nice place at all. It's like hell. But for the pig, it's like, it's home. Like home. So I mean, Prabhupada writes in one prayer that Maya even covers the living entity to think that hell is not so bad actually. When you're in hell, you get covered. Such a way that it's not so bad. I'm not suffering as much as he's doing. I've suffered more, and this is not too bad. Getting better. Somehow another material energy illusions is to keep us going, I suppose. And that this isn't the purpose of the material world. The purpose of the material world is to wake us up. Spiritual master wakes us up, opens our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. And here we see different ways the Ganga. Ganges has appeared in this world, specifically in Ashi form, described as, in one sense, it's an expansion of Krishna self, because the Ganges has touched the lotus feet of the Lord. And how does it come into this world? We just heard a little bit. source of miracles. But in this material universe, the Ganges flows throughout the universe, even in lower planets, not to purify. Not to get the benefit, knowing you are unknowingly infected. There is a statement in the Vedas that says any river where a thirsty, thirsty cow drinks the water, that river becomes as good as the Ganges. So I don't know if that's the case here. I mean, rivers with thirsty cows drinking the water. I don't know. More than that, there is a Vedic statement which states like that. So it's a very auspicious opportunity, you can say, for all of us. But particularly the Gandhis, in particular, I've mentioned here in India, everyone in India knows the glories of the Ganges water and how purifying it is, even though it may be considered to be, you know, full of stools and this and that. And similarly, there may be some faults, every endeavor is covered by faults, but we can read that in the Bhagavad Gita. And this is text 30-31, the ninth chapter, if you want to follow. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. That doesn't mean one wantingly or perpetually continues to do sinful activity, knowledge, and then just chant Hare Krishna, and that becomes offensive. But sometimes, because of the conditional life we spend, so many lifetimes, habits, and so on, sometimes, or even social pressures, sometimes, whatever it may be, accidentally, whatever it may be, sometimes behavior unexpectedly or maybe unbecoming in the eyes of the public. But the predominant thrust is to engage in devotional service, developing the penitential mentality, and the mentality of humility, willingness to take direction and guidance from others, corrections from others, etc. One is considered saintly, the one is considered to be on the path of liberation, even if we're not completely free, because we've taken shelter of the liberated. We've taken shelter of those who are pure, who have no sinful mountains within their heart. They're free of that. Maybe the Krishna of the mind. They're completely pure of these material effects. Because they've taken complete shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Or they, in this case, we see the words of the Buddha describes how the words emanate of the pure devotee. Although they may materially appear to be somewhat, not materially speaking, more so pleasing, so maybe sounding a little rough or whatever, but because those words emanate, they touch the lotus toes, they touch saffron dust from the lotus feet, the toes of Lord Krishna. They picked up that dust from Lord Krishna. They picked up that dust. So those words have that effect on anyone who hears them. They purify the consciousness. It cleanses all the dirt accumulated. That's why here in the holy name of Krishna, Jethu, Dharma, and Vajra, cleanses our hearts. And it's not that we, that it's some kind of material kind of product which ultimately acts with you, whoever you are. It's not like that. It's Krishna personally cleanses the heart, purifies us. But again, he's not obligated. He's not like a material object which we automatically work whether he likes it or not. It depends on their relationship. As they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So it depends, therefore, it's so important we receive instruction, guidance, the mantras from a pure devotee coming down from the lotus feet of Vishnu, not contaminated or, let's say, perverted by some impersonalistic or some materialistic personality. We have to hear from the right source, the pure source. Then Krishna is completely independent. But then Krishna may reciprocate in the right. Otherwise we'll get material results. We'll get impersonal results. and to cultivate the right attitude under the any association of those who are Nivititashi, Pagimana, Bhushki, Chotamanabhima, Kutubashodhamana. We have to hear the subject matter of Krishna Katha, and that means application of the various instructions which help us to become purified so we can enter into the real understanding of Krishna Katha or Krishna consciousness. Includes that also, as education includes ABC, all the way up to the topmost presentation of modern state, anyway, education. We have to hear from the right source, otherwise we get the wrong understanding and the wrong application, and it will not work. The medicinal effect of Oshidi. Oshidi means medicine, both of the birth and death. Ocean of birth and death. The medicine that releases from the ocean of birth and death is to hear. Hearing from the pure devotees of the Lord. This is the medicine to cure the real disease. The physical disease is another thing. Even mentioned here that bathing in the Ganges can cure the physical disease. But the most important thing, and it's also mentioned, that the association we can see in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam of Yudhisthira Maharaj addressed Vidura after his pilgrimage around India and around shopping places, pilgrimage. And returned to Bastu, Aspenpur, wherever it was. When he returned, and then used to imagine, you know, the association. What's that verse? Who knows that famous verse? And somebody knows it. Some of you have done Bhakti Vai Bhav. If you've done the Bhakti Vai Bhav, of course you must know this verse. Can you bring the first canto? Who can bring the first canto back with the time? Can you bring? Who's done the Bhakti Vai Bhav? Who has done, and they were very embarrassed, who has taken the Bhakti Vai Bhav course? Anybody? Do you have Bhakti Vai Bhav course? And who has passed that Bhakti Vai Bhav? I see our Bhakti Vedanta advertising here now. Very great scholars here. We're very great scholars. Who's taken the Bhakti Vai Bhav? So some of you must have taken it. Too shy to answer. What number is that first? Pardon? 13, among 13, which number verse? 10? I thought it was 10. Yeah, you're right, there it is. I looked at the wrong one. I was on that page and I looked at the other page. Yes, here it is. Bhava Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhutak Svayam Devo Tirtha Kravanti Tirthani Svantak Spena Vidaputa. Very important verse. This is Yudhisthira talking to Vidura. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. They purify. And that's purify, I think. I don't know. They describe it as more purifying because somewhere, maybe it's not in this book, but somewhere he mentions how you have to bathe in the Ganges for a long, long time, but just by a moment's association, who knows that famous verse, the moment's association with the devotees. How much benefit there is. Who can say it? Come on. What's that? I can't hear. Pardon? I don't think so. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Moments association with the devotees of the Lord. What are the benefits of that moments association? Sadhu, 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 sadh Sarvasati Goita. Well, the one moment's association is because it has, it acts just like radiation. It may not immediately manifest, but once it's in there, it's more. actually going to do. It gradually changes our consciousness. It's the beginning of the end. The association of devotees is so important. We get a proper association of devotees, the spiritual masters. Of course, the pure devotees, that although Prabhupada is mentioning here, they take that mountain of sin away at initiation. And if they're not connected to the pure devotee or to Krishna, if they themselves are not called, then the reaction comes on them. But otherwise, they're transparent media. Krishna takes it all away, Sarvadharma Pichakya. For those who have surrendered him, he removes it all. We have to be careful, if not, that we're so great and pure. As Prabhupada mentions here, therefore, it's recommended one does not accept so many disciples, because it's a big risk, and Prabhupada also said, because it is a preaching movement. That great risk the spiritual masters take to deliver the great cost we see Jesus Christ was put to it. They executed him. Haridas Thakur was beaten and punished. They take great problems and great risks. He said many times that his fitness was due to the misbehavior of the disciples. He said, my offense is that I accepted many unqualified disciples. That's my fault. But that's the risk they take. The disciples should bear that in mind. It's not just because all the good spiritual masters suffer. It means we ourselves are remaining in illusion, foolish behavior. It happens, and we should pray not. The Prabhupada said the holy places are for purifying, all over the world, are for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being. And the holy places mean that they're supposed to be surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to God. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not only mean to take a bath in the Ganges. Famous verses there, isn't it? That those persons who go to holy places or whatever it is, just to take a bath, don't try to listen to the people, the saintly persons who are there, those who identify the body as the self, those who consider these family members of mine, this place of birth is worshipable. India, I love you. Whatever is America. Australia first. What was that sign we saw the other day? Big board up on the road, some man there was declaring Australia first or something, some political party, I think. All this foolishness. They are no better than animals. No better than animals. You can say animal gets some benefit from dipping in the Ganges, but you're not very elevated in consciousness. So human beings who do that are no better than animals. The purpose of going to these holy places is to become, to get the association of great personalities who will help us to understand the truth about holy places, and ourselves, everything. Gradually prepare oneself. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage doesn't mean just to take a bath. One should also find representatives of the Dura who have no desire in life save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing, and write of the glories of the Lord. Vyasadeva heard from Narada, and then he chanted in writing. Sukadeva studied from his father, described it to Purusha. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. By their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage, and the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place. I want to speak of a lusty place. Excuse me. I can't see or hear very well this morning. want to speak of a holy place, but it is a natural truth. When a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable activities of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place, they try to turn it into a lusty place. That can even be purified by the presence of the pure devotee of the Lord. It's also said that they purify. They purify, even though it takes a long time. Someone else describes how it takes a long time to become purified in going to these holy tears, but just once if one takes the opportunity to associate with the pure devotee, one can attain perfection. In the Bhagavad Gita, we make one verse for the next verse, which Prabhupada quotes in the verse here, Shikpun Bhakti Dharamatma Shashvat Chantinaka Chichi, text 31 of the 9th chapter. Kunti apatijanihi na me bhakta pranashyati. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare boldly, my devotee never perishes. So one has this opportunity to actually associate with the pure devotee of the Lord and take shelter of their instructions sincerely. There may be some faults, there may be sometimes some, and you can say, let down, but sincere with the right attitude, a repentant attitude, one can progress in spiritual life. Krishna still bestows that mercy upon the devotee to give us the, you can say, the strength, the realization, and the desire to progress in spiritual life, and not remain in a mixed state of devotional service. And we also see in the seventh canto, the first canto, seventh chapter, the first canto, very important story, after lesson 1, 7, 5, and 6. If you want to look it up, I'm sure you will know it by heart if you've done the Bhakti Bhagavad Gita. Beautiful verses 5, 6, and 7. Listen to this. Due to the external energy, although transcendental to the three modes of nature, one thinks himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material misery. We think of material things that we heard yesterday, we make me happy, but they don't, they entangle us. They're the sources of misery. What's that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, the intelligent person? Pardon? Yehi's passion. How's it go? The wise person, death and person, doesn't take part in the sense gratification of the material activities, because he knows that they're the cause of suffering. People think they're the solution to suffering, but they're not. They cause the actual wheel of samsara to continue. The intelligent person doesn't delight in these things. They're the source of suffering. People are ignorant, they don't know they're being foolishly that until it is part of they're fools being following blind leaders into a suffering, a bit of suffering. They don't know what they're doing. And they try to resist and stop the saintly persons from preaching the real purpose of human life. It will interfere with their sense gratification. Stop. And we may also reject. Even aspiring devotees, sometimes we try to avoid and reject and put our own material concepts in place as if they're more important than just different varieties of illusion. Colors and the pure devotees, they never give up their determination to try to deliver the pure and the fallen souls like ourselves. And then it goes on, this is the verse, text 6, and Andrew Bushman shifts. Many of you noticed this. This is the sixth verse of the seventh chapter, first chapter. The material miseries of the living entity which are superfluous to him, means they have really nothing to do with the soul. They're separate, they're like oil and water, they don't mix really. They can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadevas compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. This Bhagavatam is there to wake us up, as you know, in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam has appeared in this world as the light, as I'm sure, well, we must know this verse at least. Who knows that verse? 1-3, was it? 40-something, 43, 1-3, 43, come on. Bhakti says, my Bhavas, maybe it's not here. Krishna, Sadamo, Bhavanyamandaniya. Thank you. This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall then light from this Purana. One of the foundation verses of Bhagavatam. So, to counteract those material miseries, you have to read the purport for further elucidation on the subject. But the next verse is also an incredible verse. Text 7. Simply by giving all reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. Some of the effects coming into this world, this material world, lamentation, illusion, fearfulness. Illusion is hankering after the will of the wisp, thinking that will make me happy. And then we become afraid because of ignorance. And lament when we don't get what we want, and so on. This material is like this. Every living entity under the sway of these various effects. And these are all parts of this great mountain of sin, which is in our heart, which can be destroyed by meditating on the lotus. And how we meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus feet of the Lord are manifest in this world through the Guru Mukhopadma Makhyaji Titekuri Ekya. The words emanating from the lotus feet of the pure devotee of the Lord. May my consciousness be purified by those words emanating from his lotus mouth. How we associate, or how we meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, is to meditate on the instructions of the spiritual master and how we can execute those instructions in our lives. This is focusing, fixing our heart. Fixing our hearts. We heard yesterday how Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur was describing that my sadhana, my satya, my goal, my practice is to execute, to dedicate myself to the instructions of the pure devotees of the Lord. This is how we meditate in our present situation on the lotus feet of Krishna. And that meditation purifies our heart of all dirt in our heart. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions?
Thank you so much for the welcome.
Prabhupada is giving us some wonderful mercy in his purpose. The Vedic and Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you for being here.
So I just have one question. So as you mentioned, in the purpose, Prabhupada says that Lord Chaitanya advises not to take many disciples. Spiritual master. Then I'm just wondering, we have so many sannyasis in our movement, including the holiness, a lot of disciples. So what is the motivation for our spiritual masters to take so many disciples? And what is
the motivation for the devotees, sannyasis or others devotees in our movement to accept so many disciples? What is the motivation? Is that the question? Where Vajitanya said we shouldn't accept so many disciples. What is the motivation? It's a good question, isn't it? We hope it's not the desire for followers. We hope it's not the desire for name and fame or wealth. If it is, then for sure we have problems. And the motivation should be following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, that he himself accepted many, many disciples, even as we heard earlier on, many unqualified ones. And he said, maybe we can read it, Nectar of Devotion, follow this instruction. You have the Nectar of Devotion here. Can someone bring it if it's here? I don't know if I can find it, but the statement is there, the Nectar of Devotion. We have. Excellent. Well, this is a beautiful one. These are really, really nice. This one's written nicely on top of it. Do not remove it from the shelf, put it back quickly. It says don't remove from the shelf. What are you supposed to do? Sit in the shelf and read it. You have to do some mystic powers to become so small. Sit on the shelf and read it. I don't know if I can find this. I think it means don't remove from the temple room. Is that what it means? Is that what it's supposed to be? The way we could carry the shelf outside of the temple. Some clever guy will do that. Spiritual master. I'll get tired. 65. Maybe this is, let's see what Krishna says. Not accepting unfit disciples. This is nice. You have to read it. Evidence regarding devotional service. I don't know if it's in this one, actually. I'm going to read it, whatever. Ready?
Yeah.
Another scripture is that a person may have many disciples, but he should not act in such a way that he will be obliged to any one of them for some particular action or for some favor. And one should also not be very enthusiastic about constructing new temples. Nor should one be enthusiastic about reading various types of books, save and except the ones which lead to the advancement of devotional service. Practically, one very carefully reads Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and his Nectar of Devotion. That will give him sufficient knowledge to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. One need not take the trouble of reading other books. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni, 13th chapter, verse 8, Narada Muni, discussing with Maharaj Yudhisthira the various functions of the different orders of society, especially mentions rules for sannyasis, those persons who have renounced the material world. One who has accepted the sannyas order of life is forbidden to accept as a disciple anyone who is not fit. The sannyasi should first of all examine whether a prospective student is sincerely seeking Krishna consciousness. If he is not, he should not be accepted. However, Lord Chaitanya's causeless mercy is such that he advised all bona fide spiritual masters to speak about Krishna consciousness everywhere. Therefore, in the light of Lord Chaitanya, even the sannyasis can speak about Krishna consciousness everywhere. And if someone is seriously inclined to become a disciple, the sannyasi always accepts him. The one point is that without increasing the number of disciples, there is no propagation of the cult of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, sometimes, even at a risk, a sannyasi in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may accept even a person who is not thoroughly fit to become a disciple. Later on, by the mercy of such a bona fide spiritual master, the disciple is gradually elevated. However, if one increases the number of disciples simply for some prestige or false honor, he will surely fall down in the matter of executing Krishna consciousness. Certainly a bona fide spiritual master is no business goes on to the other two subjects. Yeah. Very interesting. This section in the Adamovich chapter is evidence regarding devotional principles. It doesn't give numbers here, but it's on page 65 of this version. Very important. Without accepting, without increasing the number of disciples, there is no propagation of the cult of Krishna consciousness. So sometimes even Resli Prabhupada did it. And of course we can imitate Srila Prabhupada. One has to be very careful, but by taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada, the impetus is also to please, of course, to please Prabhupada as the primary one. He came only for that reason, to increase the spreading of Krishna consciousness on Lord Rupa's Guru Maharaj. So our desire and business should be to please Srila Prabhupada in every way we can. And this was an impetus that one has to be taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, as mentioned here in Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada's commentary, if one is not careful, that one may fall down. One has the wrong motivation to purify. And being a spiritual master isn't just a dictionary. Every Vaishnava is a spiritual master. Every Vaishnava has this opportunity and, in one sense, responsibility to, as Lord Chaitanya says, whoever you mean, teach them about Krishna. Yara Devi Tavakala Krishna Padesha Maharaja Guru Tarpa Negation. Wherever we are, from what we understood from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, we should teach this to others in this way. Everyone becomes a guru, siksha or diksha. We want this responsibility to share Krishna consciousness, and many times the people we're speaking to will not necessarily be fit. But Lord Chaitanya distributed the Sankatanga to the fit, to the unfit, the willing, the unwilling. He distributed the holy name to everyone. The Prabhupada was absorbed in chanting and preaching Krishna consciousness. If we're actually absorbed in those activities, they can be protected, being protected, to be absorbed in this devotion to one's spiritual master. Anything else? Thank you. Next time, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Gita.